Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Big Squid podcast. My name is Justin Hamilton. This is just a short podcast. I've just finished watching the Oscars. Well, I've finished watching the Oscars while doing lots of other work, and it's been a distraction either way. So I thought I'd share some thoughts with you. One of the reasons I have been putting off here on the feed the best films of 2023, or not necessarily best, but my favourite films of 2023, it will not come as any shock or surprise that when that episode comes out, number one was Oppenheimer. I loved it. I thought it was the pinnacle of Nolan's movie making, and I'll share more thoughts about that when we get to that episode. But I kind of didn't want to put it out because I didn't want to jinx it. That's the absolute truth. I don't even believe in jinxing. I don't believe in any of that shit. But I didn't want to jinx it. And I'm not even really a fan of award ceremonies. In all honesty, when I was a kid, I used to be really into it. And then you discovered, you know, how they would movies and actors and people won for the wrong reasons too many times, and it wasn't about the work. And I was naive enough when I was a kid to think it was always about the work. Sometimes it's about the work. Sometimes it was about someone running a better campaign behind the scenes, and that's how you end up with a year when Saving Private Ryan should have won, and then instead it's Shakespeare in Love. So that was always just a bit of a bummer. And I also think that awards just kind of can ruin the experience of a piece of art. A movie, an album, a comedy show, not winning an award suddenly stops you from forgetting that it's already a triumph. It's a triumph that you've made something good. So I guess I was more invested in this one mainly because I just wanted it to be over. And Oppenheimer started winning all these awards, and I just thought, you know what? Let Nolan win this. Let his wife, Emma Thomas, win this. They've been at it for a long time, and then they're Oscar winners, and then who gives a shit in the future, right? It's like that discourse is now done and dusted, and we can move on with our lives and we can just get back to enjoying things. But I did love the film. It was a culmination of everything he'd been working on, and it was quite fascinating to see how it all coalesced into that film. So, as I said, I plan on doing a best of movies for 2023. I know we're into March, but I just kind of do things at my own pace here. And what I'll do is I'll do a proper breakdown on Oppenheimer. So we'll do like a 10 to 2, and then I'll do a whole Oppenheimer episode on things that I've noticed for those of you who are fans of the movie, or, you know, maybe still haven't gotten around to seeing it and might like a little nudge, or maybe you didn't like it. Maybe I can shine a light on the film and help you find a way into it. That's not always the case. Sometimes you just don't like stuff, and that is perfectly fine. But I was pretty rapt to see it take away so many Oscars today. I knew as soon as Steven Spielberg came out to hand out Best Picture, I was like, or Best Director, I was like, oh, this is a passing of the torch. The great director Steven Spielberg, the big, you know, 20th century and into the 21st, you know, like a great director, broke ground. You know, I've always been a Spielberg fan, even when it wasn't cool. Maybe it's still not cool now. I don't know. I love Spielberg. I don't always... Sometimes his movies can be a little bit soft. Like, sometimes he'll put something in that's a little bit... Like, you know, when you see War of the Worlds and it's like... I think he fudges the ending. But I think it's because anytime you read interviews with him or see interviews with him, he just seems really sweet. And I think... And I'm quite forgiving of him when he has these really sweet moments in films. So once Spielberg came out, I went, yep, he's getting Best Director. And when Al Pacino came out, who he worked with on Insomnia, I went, yep, it's getting Best Picture. So I felt pretty confident going into it. But let's look at some of the other films. I haven't seen all of the movies that were up for awards. Actually, before we do that, Jimmy Kimmel was a little bit hit and miss at the start, but I just kind of like Kimmel. And there's something about him that even when a joke doesn't quite land, I kind of still find it amusing. So I don't think it was his best opening, but so I still enjoyed it. And you kind of know you're in rock solid hands. And then his comment about Trump towards the end, really, like that's a comedian at his best. He just went for it. Isn't it past your jail time, was the line of the Oscars. So while his opening might not have necessarily landed, I did enjoy that a lot. Yes, so and I really loved John Mulaney's presentation, and Ryan Gosling, is there anything you can't do? I thought he was really funny with Emily Blunt, and I love her as well, so the two of them together was incredibly entertaining. But him doing singing and performing I Am Ken, and you know what else I loved was that a lot of the actors from the Barbie film, including the new Doctor, Nudi Gatwa, and Simon Liu, or Simon Liu, were all part of that performance, and it was... yeah, it was great. It was really funny. Slash coming out, that was great. So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed all of that. I'd watch Gosling watching something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's so funny to watch, especially when he doesn't know the camera's on him. I would... who was it? I can't think. It was someone a few years ago was filmed watching all of his own films. Shia LaBeouf, that's right. Gosling wouldn't do it, but I would really enjoy watching Gosling watching all of his films. So what I thought I would just do is just go through the awards that I was really rapt with. I thought Emma Stone was great in Poor Things. It was disappointing for Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone. You know, there were lots of really great performances in the Best Actress category. But I, once again, I just kind of like Emma Stone, and I thought that was a pretty pretty ballsy performance, you know, and the subtleties. Like, in many ways, it really had to straddle the line of being obvious and also subtle, and I think it did a really good job of that. The Zone of Interest winning Best International Feature Film. That award, and then they also got Best Sound, and I loved that. Now, you may not have had an opportunity to listen to my chat about Zone of Interest. It's the previous podcast that just came out. But the use of sound in that film was extraordinary. And I won't step on the things that I talked about there, but seeing it get that award, I was rapt. I just thought it was such a clever film and was beautifully made. And it's one of those films that, look, if you're up for something that's a bit challenging, and maybe listen to the previous podcast to get a full kind of explanation of how I felt about it. But if you are up for something that's challenging, seeing it in the cinema is really something else. Yes, so Poor Things won a few awards. Best Costume Design, that was great. It was great to see Cord Jefferson win Best Adapted Screenplay. That was fantastic. Cord Jefferson, who also, you may know him as a writer on things like Watchmen. And he was also the writer and supervising producer on Station 11. So he's done some really, really good work. I've heard interviews with him. So it was kind of great to see him be recognized. Best Original Screenplay for Anatomy of a Fall. I thought that was really well deserved. You know, it's just a real slow burn of a film, and I was totally into that. So it was good to see them get acknowledged. Billie Eilish winning the best song for Barbie. You know, it's funny. I've seen people, you know, complaining about Barbie not winning awards or not getting nominated for enough stuff. I definitely would have put Greta Gerwig in the Best Director category. I think she deserved a nod for that. But, you know, I've had some people say, oh, how would you feel if Christopher Nolan had made the biggest movie of the year that broke expectations and brought people back to the cinema and then didn't get a Best Film or Director nomination? And I say, yeah, no, we have experienced that. That was called 2008, The Dark Knight. So, but I understand the frustration. I think it was good to see it get honoured in different ways and was never too far away from everyone's thoughts. So,
if you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I think she deserved a Best Director nomination. Good to see Wes Anderson. I love Wes Anderson. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, that's his first Oscar. That was for Best Live Action Short Film for The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Weirdly, I love him, and I've still only watched two of those shorts. So maybe I'll treat myself tonight to getting to that. Ludwig Göransson's music for Oppenheimer was beautiful. So I was really happy to see that come through. Same with Best Film Editing. And also it was cinematography as well. And if you've never seen any behind-the-scenes stuff, Van Hoyte carrying those massive IMAX cameras around is extraordinary. Like, you have no idea how big they are if you haven't seen them before. And when you see them, it's like, holy shit, you know, he's doing some phenomenal work there. So I think that's worthwhile checking out if you're interested. I still have not seen American Fiction, so that is on my list of things to do, and I still haven't seen The Holdovers either, so they were the two that I kind of missed. I haven't seen Maestro, but there was just something about it that didn't appeal. I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe it was the campaigning that Bradley Cooper was doing that made me just feel a little bit embarrassed, I think. So yeah, I don't know what to really say about that, but it's funny because I really enjoyed A Star Is Born, and I thought I was really surprised. I went along with Tegan Higginbotham. I had free tickets to it and was kind of went thinking, you know, not really caring one way or the other, and we had a really good time. So I was kind of looking forward to this. And then just in the lead up, I was like, oh God, it just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. So feel free to tell me, email me or whatever, if it's still worthwhile checking out. I'm always up for someone to give me a, you know, a push in the right direction. But I'm looking forward to The Holdovers, and I'm looking forward to American Fiction, so I will get to them. You know, the award that I was also really rapt with was Godzilla Minus One getting Best Visual Effects. That was fantastic. I just thought that was awesome. Just awesome. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. So worthwhile seeing. Weirdly goes along quite well with Oppenheimer. But yeah, that'll make sense if you've seen both of them. But yep. Really, really wonderful stuff. You know, there were some comments all the way through the night. You know, it was good to see people talking about the war in Palestine and standing up for what they believed in there. And, you know, I think Jonathan Glazer, you know, summed it up with the dehumanization of the Israel-Gaza conflict and any conflict, you know, conflicts throughout the world and through history. I thought that was a really good summation of where these things are at. And I also really loved Cord Jefferson saying, hey, make 20 $10 million movies instead of one $200 million film. Yes. Yes, please. Please do that. Like it's bonkers that Oppenheimer was only, and I know this sounds crazy to say, but for a movie that looked that expensive and had such a high level of craftsmen working in front and behind the camera, that was only made for $100 million and never went over budget. You know, at one point they had to build Los Alamos, and it was going to cost more than they expected. So rather than ask for more money, Nolan shot the film in even shorter amount of time. So he just saved the money on the shoot time, and the movie came under budget, and then, you know, possibly with re-releases will creep up to that $1 billion mark. So I thoroughly agree with that. You know, I think about a lot of my favorite films in the recent years have all been, you know, much cheaper to make, and it's amazing how my eyes gloss over a lot of the big budget films these days, and they just feel flat, like, to watch. They don't have any depth to them. They don't really have anything that you can connect with emotionally. So, you know, yeah, you know, they probably won't listen to that, but I really wish they would. You know, there's the Sydney Sweeney movie is a rom-com, and that's made $200 million off not much of a budget. So, you know, you just want to go and see, lots of different films, don't you? You don't want all the same types of films being made. You want lots of different ones, and you want to have a choice, you know? So that's what I would like to see in the future. And I guess Cillian Murphy, great. You know, obviously he feels very awkward in these situations, but he's such a beautiful man and he's such a beautiful speaker. So it was great to see him win his award. And he is the direct opposite of Robert Downey Jr., who was built for the moment. And, you know, I don't know. You know, there's something about Downey Jr. that within one speech I can go, calm down to, that was really funny too. That's a good point. And, yes, you should keep thanking your wife. And, no, you're making a joke at your expense. Like, it's a real roller coaster ride. So, yes. Anyway, I enjoyed the Oscars this year. To be completely honest, I pretty much was happy with every winner. You know, movies like Barbie, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Holdovers, Anatomy of a Fall, The Zone of Interest, Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, I thought they were all great. You know, each film, you know, has something that it does better than anyone else. The Killers of the Flower Moon discourse that surrounded it afterwards probably affected it. And also it probably, like, I don't have a problem with how long a film is. It just needs to be as long as it's meant to be. Does that make sense? Like, I've been bored in 90-minute films. You've heard me say that before. So Killers of the Flower Moon, I thought was great, but even that one stretched, you know, my focus, to be honest. But you know, it was still an incredible experience to have in the cinema. Hopefully in the future, Jonathan Glazer will win a Best Director. I'd love to see Yorgos Lanthimos and Justine Triet win Best Director in the future. Hopefully Paul Giamatti will one day get that elusive Oscar. He's been up a couple of times. Same with Annette Bening. Sandra Hüller, who was in Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest, was magnificent in both. I hope someone gives Lily Gladstone another opportunity to really, you know, flex. Emily Blunt, who missed out for Oppenheimer, is a little bit the secret sauce of that film. Whenever you watch it again, notice that she's kind of in the very first scene, but she's in the background, unfocused. And as the film progresses, she comes into more and more definition until the very end, when she gets one of the great moments of the climax of the film. But yeah, there you go. So just a few little thoughts on how everything went. I hope you don't mind me sharing these thoughts with you. You know, if I didn't mention something, it's probably because I haven't seen it and wouldn't really know. You know, I would just be saying words for the sake of saying words. But if you didn't get to see the Oscars, can I please suggest, if you watch nothing, look up Ryan Gosling performing. it's roughly 3 and a bit minutes, and it'll just make you feel good about a lot of things in your life. All right, just a short podcast from me today. Please check out the podcast that was released yesterday. That one is a covering The Zone of Interest, Dune 2, Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime, and a few other things. And over at Patreon, I released an old podcast from my original show called Can You Take This Photo, Please? And it's an interview with Celia Pecola from the end of the 2014 Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And it's a really fun chat. It's really interesting to hear Celia talk from back then, 10 years ago. Like, that's crazy. Like, that is genuinely crazy. So you can find that at patreon.com/Justin Hamilton. There's about 50 plus bonus podcast there and written pieces and all sorts of things that you can access by signing up. Okay, let's leave it at that. You know what? I promise you I'll do best movies of 2023. You already know where that is going to land, but there might be some surprises along the way. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for writing to me and sharing your thoughts. And I'll be back soon with more stuff for you. So hope you're well. Hope your Monday is kicking off and it's a good week. Until then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.